Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. Part of this month's issue of Milwaukee Magazine, the City Guide issue, is a series of essays on summer innocence. We're very fortunate to feature each of the essayists reading their work on Lake Effect. Today, it is writer and social entrepreneur Dasha Kelly, who offers us an introduction.
This was so perfectly timed to get the invitation to write on summer innocence, because just that weekend, I'd watched my now teenage daughters organize themselves in what they would like to do, the camps they'd like to attend for the summer. And that was the whole purpose of going to this particular event, but watching it happen. And I won't go so far as to say I was rendered useless, because I'm a mama. I will never, ever be useless. But I certainly felt that shift. Okay, you don't want to go to Tinkerbell camp anymore. Okay, I guess. So it was just perfectly timed, because I had that moment of this is where it begins. All of this preparation work, and now this is where you put these lovely boats in the water and see how well they float. So the essay for Summer Innocence is Learning to Fly. For 14 years, the first signs of summer have greeted me while the sky was still shrouded in gray and belligerent cold. The auspicious signs would alight my inbox and postal mail with promises of sunshine and adventure, brochures with bright smiles, catalogs with color-coded indexes, hyperlinks for easy registration, in large quotation mark graphics around generous and enthusiastic testimonials. Summer was, indeed, coming, and these heralds let me know when to begin plotting my kids' best summer ever. Again. By the time my firstborn could walk, we were already vets on the mommy and me scene. Music, tumbling, puppets, playdates at the park. Year after year, I honed my summer planning skills by spending the final throes of winter hunched over a calendar, a notepad, and a spread of summer camp brochures. I scouted every activity in my budget and logistics could afford and plotted their summer adventures on a wall calendar. Without a manual, parents start with what we know and build from there. I remember my mother signing me up for one thing or another as a kid: taekwondo, piano, gymnastics. Actually, I hated these three. The taekwondo instructor was scary. Piano required practice outside of the lessons, and gymnastics disagreed with my Amazonian stature. Still, I experienced a lot of things I did enjoy. Long before having kids of my own, I'd attended a program where the facilitator used the phrase fuzzy dendrites to explain how children gain new brain neurons whenever they encounter something new. More neurons meant more brain netting to snag and process information. I referenced the fuzzy dendrites regularly once I had a baby. Mobiles above the crib, feathers on their skin, my voice reading articles from Newsweek while nursing, oatmeal in their parade carrots, and yes, baby Einstein videos. My two girls have had extremely fuzzy dendrites over the years. They've been signed up for kickball, cooking, dance, track, pom-poms, day camp, poetry camp, horse camp, math basics, reading, roller skating, tennis, sewing, swimming, theater, architecture, chemistry, and soccer. They hated soccer, though. They tease me now about making them suffer through the miserable heat, indifferent instructors, and soccer-frenzied kids. Well, now you know for a fact that you don't like soccer, I'd say. We already knew we didn't like soccer, they'd tease back. Listen, I'd say, launching into my favorite all-purpose mama mantra. When you grow up and you're living the life of your dreams, we know, they'd laugh. We'll thank you. By the time I was a preteen, stumbling into new activities proved to be the single habit that helped me survive the horrific torture of middle school. Some of those activities, volleyball, singing, writing, student government, continue to serve me through high school and college and are still enormous parts of my life. I wanted that for my girls, too, to give them little sampler chocolates of the world awaiting them until they came across that thing they'd want to sink themselves into, that thing that would inexplicably ignite a passion in them, challenge them, reward them, soothe them, affirm them, source their own joy. At minimum, the girls wouldn't spend the entire summer perched in front of a television and bemoaning their boredom. I suppose, more than keeping them occupied and expanding their brain capacity, I wanted my daughters to have a context for what's possible. Aside from the baseline parenting benchmarks of raising kids who are moral, just, informed, and kind,
I needed my daughters to believe in the idea of possible. Turning dish liquid into volcano kind of possible. Making instruments with milk jugs and kidney beans kind of possible. Getting to the second activity on time if they pack a snack in advance kind of possible. Giggling with kids from different zip codes kind of possible. Stretching beyond their arm's length to return a volley kind of possible. For tender bruises and chipped pottery and deflating cardboard towers to still count as winning kind of possible. By my parenting standards, I will have failed if my daughters head out into the world without an experience of navigating possible. And as it turns out, heading out into the world is going to be a real thing. They're 14 and 15, numbers that always felt theoretical when they were small. I was the last of my friends to have kids and would often chide them for lamenting their children's inevitable individuality. Wasn't this the plan? I would ask, impatient with my friends moping or long faces when their then-teens would head off for dances and tournaments and double dates and college. Isn't this what you've all been working toward? I dab at the corners of my mouth these days as I eat those mocking words. My own now-teens have started planning their own summers. In years past, I would spend hours poring over the offerings, comparing dates and fees, charting a schedule that settled somewhere between full and insane. Now, my daughters bring me forms to review and sign. We talk about the activities they've found for themselves: volleyball, basketball, journalism, fashion, even weeks away on college campuses. We mark the dates on the wall calendar together. This was definitely the plan. Confident, resourceful young women capable of inserting themselves into the unknown. I just didn't account for losing this ritual. I didn't consider all the ways independence would show up. The panic of their leaving one day hasn't seized in my chest just yet, but it's coming. As sure as tank tops and July fireworks, I know now that the panic is coming. For the first time in their lives, I'm not stitching together a summer of possible. They're doing it for themselves. Summers will still be magnificent, but the innocence is gone.
Writer and social entrepreneur Dasha Kelly reading her essay Learning to Fly, which appears in this month's issue of Milwaukee Magazine. She's also author of the novel Almost Crimson.